But sometimes to follow the special melody is it will be difficult if we begin with Srila Prabhupada's Param Mantra. And then there is some devotees that think that it is offensive if we don't begin kirtan without Pranam Mantra of Srila Prabhupada. So my question is it right? Or if is it right, is it possible to chant Srila Prabhupada's Pranam Mantra in the mind and then follow the desirable melody?
Mm-hmm. See, in glorification there is something called the krama. Krama means the succession. We are entering into the presence of the Lord, and therefore for such a project to take effect, the right steps to come into the presence is necessary. And we do worship the spiritual master who stands at the gate of the palace of bhakti first, and therefore the idea of pranam mantra is there. We worship him to obtain the permission to proceed in that long journey. So I think once this and this understanding is there, the understanding of pranam mantra, if you do it in the Gaudiya style, you will worship first the Vaishnava. No, you will start with the Guru, then you go to the Vaishnavas, then you go through, Gaunitai, and then Radha and Krishna. That's the pranam mantra, the krama. Whenever you do bhajan and kirtan, following that line. The idea is you slowly ascend higher by taking the help and the permission of these personalities who stand on higher and higher ranks or on our way to Krishna. This is the idea. Now, I personally think when you have understood and accepted this idea, then there are different situations in life, and you will apply this same idea differently. There are some situations when you do not go through the prolonged list of personalities standing on different stations of the staircase of bhakti. There are such situations. But if you have the general understanding, you will be nevertheless allowed. What I do every morning is I start my day with the samsara prayers, where I offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master. And then I do my japa, and then I do the rest of my service throughout the day. Every day I'm doing this. And then when I sing kirtans during the day, or I try to sing as much as possible, then I don't always do the pranam to Prabhupada, because I have already asked for permission. So I think, Mandaleshwari, you must understand the principle, the point, and then see how, according to time, place, and circumstances, you apply this. We will learn tomorrow a wonderful meditation where we asked our spiritual master for permission. It's right from Harinam Chintamani. You will love it. It's really wonderful. We will learn how to do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Who was next, please, on the list? Okay, then. I remember there were devotees, but you were Gaurahari, maybe? Yes?
You gave the different type of kirtans. Kirtan, Rupa Kirtan, and then you explain that Nam Kirtan is the main, and we sing Nam Kirtan because all the lila, the qualities, the form are included in the name. But then you say, but one need to be aware or mindful of that while singing. And I was wondering if while chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if we should think of the quality of the pastimes and the form of the Lord, or should we wait maybe one lifetime or two lifetimes until it comes by itself?
Narada Muni answers this question very nicely by saying, we do two things in our bhakti process. We chant the names and we remember the pastimes. Now, when you chant Hare Krishna and you have heard the pastimes of Krishna entering Mathura, then you remember. For instance, this morning I chanted my japa, and just in the evening I had heard the pastimes of Krishna entering Mathura, and I thought for a while about Krishna going past the trees and the devotees thinking, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? He's gone. Where is he? I thought about these things. And this will happen more and more. As you listen about Krishna, Krishna's name and Krishna's qualities in your sadhana time, then it comes more and more. It's very simple. For instance, you all don't know my friend Lawrence. This is when I was a little boy. I had my little boyfriend. Do we say boyfriend or it's a little not so good? Yeah. Lawrence was my friend. It's another little boy, and we would drive the whole island on which we lived crazy, we two little boys, you know. We were very dynamic when we were young. So when I say Lawrence, I remember all the adventures, some of the adventures, and how once we went on the ocean on an ice thing, you know, which had broken away. Something like an iceberg, it's like this. And we drifted away from the coast, and we had to be saved by helicopter. And I remember all these things because I experienced it. When I hear Lawrence, a whole, you know, so many wild childhood pastimes appear in my mind. That is very natural. When you hear, when you know something about the name, therefore, I can only repeat, read in our Vaishnava literature and take part in discussions. And really, one of our next goal in the retreat is Krishna Katha retreats. I really want to do this. If we just hear Krishna did this, Krishna did that, his qualities, his form looks like this, his eyes, and we just hear about this, and then when we chant, it comes. It's like you are all in the computer generation. When you put the right command in the computer, then a whole program comes, and something comes up, isn't it? You do, and then it comes. So that's the philosophy of. See, it's called Udipans. Udipans means certain words stimulate something in you, a remembrance of Krishna. But you must have something in your hard disk so that it can come out, something in your memory. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't try so much to imagine things, because when you stuff your mind full with imaginations, the revelations cannot come because you're already filled. So What Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to do is to incite him, or as a Udipan, he used to chant and then chant particular shlokas, and they would evoke memories. Such shlokas can be found in the book Bhajan Rahasya, and they can also be found at the end of Brihad Bhagavatamrita in what we call the Bhakti Rasayana shlokas. You just chant Gaura Hari, and then you read these shlokas, and then you wait what comes. I wouldn't really go so much into imagination, because then it's still you who do everything, and you are what you are, a limited conditioned soul. Yeah. Yes, next devotee. I don't see anyone. Mayuri Saki. Mayuri. Mayur is a peacock, isn't it? Peacock, a female peacock. Wonderful.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you, Maharaj and Sri Krishna, for allowing me to be here in this retreat. I feel immense gratitude. But Maharaj, I feel I have this frightening feeling going back from wherever I came from, because I will not know how to keep a balance between spiritual life and material life, having a job as a full-time teaching music teacher.
Music?
And I have also 16 pupils under my care. And it will be difficult for me to come back to normal. So this is my question, how to keep a balance between spiritual life and material life.
We will supply you at the end of the Japa retreat, that is on Friday, when we have our last session. It will be a little longer. It will be from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and then we are all free afterwards. And then we will supply you a powerful weapon that you will get, just for that purpose. Friday, yeah. No problem, there's the CDs, is the word of CDs. Yeah. We will talk in our last session what to do in a normal situation. It has very much to do with what is happening on the wall at the moment. You will also get it in the Amritavani newsletter if you subscribe. You will also get it there. So that is one thing. The other thing is what Mayuri Saki is expressing, I think, is relevant to all of us, that we have peak experiences or high points in our devotional life, but they are limited to a certain time, either to the time when we spend in the Holy Dharma or in a retreat or in a good association. And then it seems we leave these peak experiences behind and descend into our normal consciousness. We have experienced an upliftment and it was very real. We really felt it, but we go back. Now, there are two ways to deal with this. The first one is a way which is the ultimate way, and the second is a way which is something which helps us on to, until we have the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is to attain Nishta Bhakti. Nishta means a steady form of bhakti, but as long as we are not on that level, we will be Anishta, it's called, unsteady. That Nishta Bhakti comes when you have overcome all the anattas, the unwanted and disturbing habits in your spiritual life. And it's a certain level which really comes due to purification of the heart. And you can't really use any other technique, you know. Only the pure soul is steady in devotional service. Someone who is not yet pure or not yet fully pure, he will sometimes or she will sometimes have a peak experience due to Krishna's mercy and then go back to the platform where he or she is really working. And I think many of us are on the level of anatta nivritti. We are trying to become free of the unwanted tendencies, but we are unfortunately not completely free. So after anatta nivritti, only after anatta nivritti comes nishta. So you need to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. However, there is something for us poor souls which can help us. And it has to do with the most powerful factor of our human existence, that is habits. May I ask you to fold your hands, your arms. Now I want to ask you, is your right hand over your left elbow? How do you fold the hands? I mean, is it like this? Let me do it like, you have folded your arms. Huh? Try to now do it in the other way. How does the other way feel? Strange, isn't it? Yeah, it's strange. That means, whenever you fold your arms, you will do it in your way. What is your way? It's the way you are habituated to do things. We all, this little example is an example, it is a certain habit. I, for instance, have the habit that after each meal, I must sleep for at least 7 minutes. 6 minutes and 46 seconds, to be precise. If I don't have this, then it becomes very difficult for my body to exist. It is a certain habit. We call it a gentleman's rest, which goes together with eating in my case, eating and sleeping. And all of us have such habits which we don't even know how they came, but they are there and they form our life. Now, physical habits is something which is on one level, but even stronger than our physical habits are our mental habits, the way we think. These mental habits are habits which we took with us from the past life into this life. And all of us are working in these mental habits, and we feel disturbed when the mental habits are broken. This is, for instance, the experience which some of us have during retreats, when we do something so different and think thoughts which are so different. We feel spooky. The Mataji start to cry, the men get onto false ego and start to offend everything and everyone. It's normal, because we are now no longer in our habituated thought patterns and habituated life. So this is the bad news. We are all governed by habits. But now comes the good news. Just like you can create limiting habits, you can also create habits which are empowering you. Just like I have my gentleman's rest habit, and if I don't get it, I become nervous like a little child and and can't function. I can create a habit which I have created over many years. By the way, it's all right. In the scriptures you read, even Gauranga Mahaprabhu took a rest after eating prasad. Hare Krishna. Trying to defend myself here. After all, I'm on the internet, you know, this is a dangerous media. So, just like you can create good habits, thinking habits. And, Mayuri Saki, habits are first soft, that is malleable, changeable, but they become very strong and firm after a period of 40 days and beyond. So if you want to create a new habit in your life, you have to do it for 40 days and beyond. My suggestion is when you go back from the kirtan retreat, create a new habit in relationship to kirtan. And don't do all the many points which you heard. Just work on one, not 2, 3, 4, because it's too much for the psychophysical setup of the human being to take it. For instance, I like to increase my rounds. I don't want to chant always 16 rounds. I think that's too little if Yuga Dharma is the holy name. So the way I have created a habit to chant more rounds is I have added each year one more round. I must say, not each year, but some of the years, one more round. And I put this round, was for me some motivating round. It was after an experience, a good pilgrimage and so on, that I have added this. And I've created a new habit of chanting more than the minimum amount of rounds. There are other habits, thought habits, for instance. You can just, when you catch yourself thinking negatively about someone, you can wish him all the best. And if you do that over 40 days, you will find yourself all of a sudden, when negativity comes, you don't become influenced. You switch in your mind. Jip. What a nice person, you think. And you discover something which is nice. You have to... When you go back to Sweden Loka, you're in Sweden, isn't it? When you go back to Sweden Loka, then you should bring one habit with you and work on this. Something you feel enthusiastic and make it a habit. Something. You're a music teacher, Mayuri Saki, and sing beautifully like a female peacock. So you can... definitely, make it a habit to sing one kirtan during the day with your Gita. I know you play beautifully Gita. Yeah, I remember so many things. Then do a kirtan or maybe meet your, on the way to work. Or a very good habit is before you fall asleep to sing. Ooh, then your sleep is the best sleep. Simple things, you know, can be done. Simple habits. And you just must see that you do this for 40 days. You must, it's really like a clay brick becomes firm when it lies for 40 days in the sun. You will find about this method, it's a genius method, which is really known in many traditions. It's really something which works in the Japa Transformation Handbook. It's really wonderful, this book. Really try it out and so on. It's on the book table. Please take one copy with you home. This book was only made for this question, what to do after a retreat. Mm-hmm. The Japa Transformation Handbook. It's a small handbook on the book table. Mm-hmm. Yes, there it is. It was just it was first developed by Radha Vallabha Prabhu from the Bhaktivedanta Ashram in New York, and then it came. I saw it and I immediately tried it and made a wonderful experience, and then I worked it a little bit out for the purposes of the devotees who would come to retreats, so that they don't go back to normal life and so on. So Mayuri Saki, please, with this information, please try it, and I want to personally request you, after 40 days of working with the Japa reform book or transformation book, please write me a short email how it is. No entanglement, just and finished. It really works. Devotees have amazing experiences, and I also try this from time to time. It's very good. Thank you. The next devotee? Were you on the list? I think there were others. See, you have pointed your hands and now you forget that you were Radha Damodar and Kanchanavali.
As the verse is describing Trinam Pisanichana. And I feel that how many sins I have done in this life and earlier life, and I become very, very much humble because of this. And this thing inspires me to chant, and when I think the mercy of the holy name, that after doing so many sins, also he's coming on my tongue, is so merciful. But when I'm chanting like this, then I'm feeling the greatness of Krishna. Which has no limit, like that. And I feel myself very small and very minute and destitute person. And mm-hmm. Krishna is very, very kind. He has unlimited generosity towards me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not thinking about... I'm thinking about his greatness, and sometimes I feel very emotional also. But I'm not thinking about... like how you told me that we should also think not only about greatness but mamatva also, that some personal relationship with Krishna. Like when I think that he is my Lord and I'm just servant, that like I do not go into this Vrindavan things, that he's my friend or he's Kavapa or something like that. So I do not think like this. And also I noticed that my round is taking too much long time, 10, 12 minutes to finish.
In general, it takes too long, or when you think that you are Krishna's servant, it takes longer?
No, like earlier I was chanting, but I was not, maybe sometimes my mind was going and I was never taking care of, so I was even not realizing my mind is somewhere else. But now I am trying to bring it back.
And then it takes longer time.
Yes.
I will give a very simple answer to a complex question. There are four levels of competency. When you are competent, how do you say? Competency. Four levels. First is you are unconscious. You don't know that you do mistakes. The second level is you realize that you are doing mistakes and you're trying you realize you make mistakes. The third level is you realize that you do mistakes in your life and you should do it better, and you consciously work on the right way. And the fourth level of competency is you do not notice any longer what you are doing. You are unconsciously competent. First you are unconsciously incompetent, then you are, I will make it very clear. Do you know bicycle driving? Not so good. A little bit. First, you know, first level of bicycle driving is you don't know you can't drive bicycle. I mean, someone who has never driven a bicycle doesn't know how well he is. The second is you get on the bicycle and you notice, my God, I don't know how to drive the bicycle. Bang, you're on the tree, you know. Then the third level is you keep all the rules of bicycle driving. Okay, left foot, right foot, look straight, levo, desno, and you know, you're really self-conscious as you drive the bicycle. And the fourth level is you're competent driving the bicycle. You just talk with your neighbor, ring, 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 you know, and you enjoy the beautiful scenery and so on and so forth. So you start being unconsciously incompetent, then you go to the level of being consciously incompetent, then you go to the level where you are consciously competent, and then the fourth level is where you are unconsciously competent. You follow? This is with chanting also. When devotees come to things like kirtan retreat or japa retreat, they don't know how they chant. They somehow chant over. Oh, where's the breakfast, please? You know. Then in the japa retreat, they come to the site. My God, I didn't really chant properly my rounds. I am noticing. That means you are consciously incompetent. Then you learn all these different rules where you are consciously competent. You are conscious what you're doing in order to be competent. And that's the part where you take extra time. Okay, I have to do this. Bring the mind back. I have to think of a relationship. Oh my God, what do I do? Okay, I put a picture of the deity before me, and then I chant before the you and me, you and me, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You know, this takes extra time, but you will arrive at a level where you are unconsciously competent. That was Prabhupada's level when he was once asked. Prabhupada was once asked, Prabhupada, what do I do with my mind? Prabhupada said, where's the question of the mind? You just chant and listen. For a person on that level where he has perfected his practice, there he doesn't have to struggle with the mind to be consciously competent. He's unconsciously competent. And he will ask, what is the difficulty? So to come to this level, you will require a practice. And by the way, it is good if you do a japa retreat. You, on your own also is nice. If you reserve, for instance, out of a year, you say, okay, this one few days I will work on my japa. Or you will say, every Ekadasi I make an extra effort to work on my japa more. At this moment where we have to rise from unconsciously incompetent, that is, we don't know that we are incompetent, to the platform of, now we're really, it's called chanting while avoiding offenses. No? That means being consciously incompetent. Nay, consciously competent. We're working on that. I hope I have explained. Did it make sense to you? You could follow? Yes. That's also our whole process. We follow first rules and regulations, and then we hope to become one day spontaneously attracted to Krishna. But we need to follow these rules and regulations, otherwise we don't, never develop Krishna consciousness in a spontaneous fashion. Good. I'm looking at the time and I know Kanchanavali, who always has a question. No need? Good. I would like to now sing with you a Naam Kirtan. What Kirtan would you like? Vibhavari Shesha or Yashomati Nandana? What? Who is for Vibhavari Shesha? And who is for Yashomati Nandana? Oh, that's a close call. Oh my God, this is, now we have to count everything. Okay, once again, very clearly, who wants to sing Vibhavari Shesha? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40. My dear devotees, Viva Vari Shesha has won. But you know, those Yashomati Nandana fans, the names of the Lord are all, you know, the Lord. So no problem, you will also. Wow, look at these pictures. How do you like these pictures? It's so nice. Our devotees have done such. And see, do you see the golden rim that separates the picture from the text? It's just so aesthetically perfect. So these are the names of Lord Krishna. There are different names. Viva Vari Shesha Alok Kapravesha Nidra Chari Utajiva. Nidra means sleep, Chari wake up, Uto means get up, Jiva, get up from the sleep by singing these songs of these names of the Lord. This is a very powerful way of rising from the sleep of material illusion. Bolo Hari Hari, sing Hari Hari, we have done this many times. Mukunda Murari, Nama, Rama Krishna Hayagriva, it's only names of Krishna. What is our... Viva Vari Shesha Aloka Pravesha Nita Chari Yuto. We have to go a little lower, you know, it's still the morning. Nita Chari. We will find it, don't worry. Hare Krishna, we are trying our best. Viva Vari Shesha Aloka Pravesha Nidra Chari Uto Jiva. Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Haya Griva. Nisinga Vamana Srimadu Sudana Rajendra Nandana Shyama Putana Gatana Kaita Pashatana Jaya Dasharati Rama Yashoda Dulala Govinda Gopala Vrindavana Purandara Pripriya jana Radhika Ramana Puvana Sundara Bara Ravananta kara makana taskara Gopijana vastrahari Prajeda Rakala Gopapinda Pala Chitahari Bhangsi Dari Yoginda Vandana Sinanda Nandana Prajajana Vaya Hari Navina Nirada Rupa Manohara Mohana Vamsi Vihari Yashoda Nandana Kamsani Surana Nikunya rasa vilase Karamba kanana rasa parayana Vrindavipina Nivasi Hai Bo! Ananda Vajana Premaniketana Kula Shrayo Yakama Panga Gagana Chitta Vinodana Samasta Gunagana Dhamma Jamuna Jivana Kele Parayana Manasa Chandra Chakora Namasura Rasa Gau Krishna Yasha Rako Vachana Mana Mora Viva Varishe Shaloka Pravesha Jita Chare Uto Jiva Polo Hori Hori Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Yagriva Bolo Hari Hari Mukunda Murari Rama Krishna Yagriva Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Gauranitai. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radha. Go, Premanandi, Hare Krishna. Oh, we have gone to Vrindavan. In the morning, we heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's experience, which he shared with the sannyasis of Benares or Varanasi in order to convince them of Nam Sankirtan. And remember, he quoted this verse that someone who is following the process of bhakti will engage in loud singing the Lord's holy name. And these were very specific holy names, names which are dear to that particular devotee. See, Krishna has basically two types of names. They are called principal names and secondary names. Principal names are those names which are used by his dear devotees, like Yashodanandan, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. All these names which have a relationship with his dear devotees. And secondary names are names which are in relationship to the material world, like Srishtikarta, that's the creator, or Paramatma, the indwelling super soul, and so Ishvara, the supreme controller, and so on. Souls who are in this world and who address God will use secondary names, that is, names in relationship to the world, Mahavishnu, and so on and so forth. Souls who want to establish a relationship with Krishna in his home, outside of this dreary world of coming and going, use the perspective of Krishna's dear devotees who are also in the transcendental or spiritual world. You know, you can look at God from this world, and you can look at God from outside of this world. You can look at God with the eyes of a conditioned soul and use these type of names. You can also look at God through the eyes of the devotees who love Krishna very much. So, in our tradition, we use principal names because Mahaprabhu does this. Our deities are not called... well, there are a few exceptions. Our names deities are usually called in Sambandha Tattva, Radha Madan Mohan and such names, Abhideya, Radha Govinda, and Parayojana, Radha Gopinath, like here. But Prabhupada introduced in some rare cases also names in relationship to the souls in this world. Radha, London, Ishvara, London, and Paris, Ishvara. Germany, Ishvara, no, not there. But these are very rare examples, and they are not altogether, I would say, secondary names, because Radha is there. Radha, London, Ishvara. You don't find Radha in this world, you know. It's a transcendental entity. So, yes, so these are Naam Kirtans, which we have just now sung, Vibhavari Shesha Aloka Pravesha. Isn't that beautiful? And imagine now you know the meaning of each name. And think of the meaning of it. Like I saw this, you know, when we saw... Shita... What was it? Chitta Vimohana Bangsidari? What was it? Can we see? Mohana Vangshida. Oh, so many. There was this song. We will find it for you. Viva Varishi. Oh, look how beautiful the devotees did this. Wow. One further, please. One further. And one further. Then we have it. Chitta Hari. Chitta means the consciousness. And Hari means Krishna, who steals the consciousness. And he is Bangsidari. What could Bangsidari mean? Look at the picture, then you have the answer. He who carries the flute. Dari to dar means dar, means to carry. So you think about this. What do you think what Krishna will think when you address him as Bangsidari? He feels, ooh, Bangsidari. So these are principal names which in our tradition are taught and chanted, so that our relationship with Krishna is in the spiritual world. But of course we have to start here with the relationship of that of a servant and so on. So in this world we start with a servant relationship. Good. So chant the names, says Jiva Goswami. I'm giving you now Jiva Goswami's tips, which develop or nourish your devotional mood. Then Jiva Goswami he says, even a person who is resolved to chant the holy names needs to chant specific names of the Lord that nourish his or her particular devotional mood. Therefore the text says, one should sing the names of the Lord that are dear to him, because that will help him develop anuraga, or deep love for Krishna. A wonderful point, isn't it? Then, second rule, Jiva Goswami. He says, if you are not able to concentrate, does this happen to you? No, never. You're always able to concentrate. There is a tip you should do. Can any one of you imagine what you should do when you are not able to concentrate? Read the Maha Mantra. Bang your head, says Kanchanavali. Then maybe it shakes in the right gear. Kuvale Shaya Vishvakama Prabhu. Yeah. Loudly cry out the names which are dear to us. The sister of Mayuri Saki. Pray to the spiritual master. you say the things which you always say to everything. It's always good. Yes. It's always good. Yes. What Kuvali Shaya Vishvakama Prabhu said is correct. You should chant loudly and melodiously. When you can't concentrate, just chant loudly, because the sound will steal your mind. I remember there was one sannyasi godbrother, Pancha Darvida Prabhu. If you would see Pancha Darvida Prabhu at that time when he was young, he was really restless. He later became Pancha Darvida Swami when he was exalted. And he once went to Prabhupada and said, I can't concentrate on my japa, on anything. What should I do? Prabhupada said, see this field? Yes, I see the field, Prabhupada. What should I do with the field? Go in the middle of the field where no one hears you, and just call out very loud Krishna's name. Because, remember, the sound can capture the turbulent mind. I remember this. I was once preaching four stories under the Frankfurt airport in the discotheque Dorian Gray. It really sounds like it. And it was a special day. In the discotheque, there were all these people who were wearing an earring on one ear only, and I didn't know what that meant. But I distinctly saw this. They all have an earring on one ear only. What? And I noticed it was all male people. I was innocent, I don't know. So I started to preach, and the music was so loud. I remember I wanted to preach a lot, because I happened to be there. You know, preachers want to go everywhere and help people. I remember, it was so loud. Boom, 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 boom. Some, it always make boom, 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 like a she machine. Boom, 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 And after some time, I noticed I couldn't concentrate any longer because my mind had been taken away from the sound. I tried to say something, but it just didn't work. The connection was cut by the sound. Sound can capture the mind like anything. So you should chant loudly. That's the sound therapy. To do this practically is take a pair of cartels and then just start to sing when you're in the midst of japa. Really, you will see it will work wonders. Do kirtan. When you are there, there are these, at Radhakund, there are many Vaishnavas who do bhajan by remembering Krishna. And you can always hear from time to time, you hear out of these kutiyas, I'm always saying this, kirtans. And they, because, you know, they can't concentrate at the moment, it's too hot, or they ate too much, or just something. But then they chant kirtan. And it brings the mind back. It's very simple. Chant loud and preferably melodiously, it is said. Chant and sing sweetly and your mind comes. Once, this is from the Nama Komudi, once there was a sinful Kshatriya who had performed many sins, and he went to a Brahmana for spiritual advice, and the Brahmana told him, you should now do this, and then go to the Ganga and perform this ritual. And so, and the Kshatriya said, I can't do it, I'm so disturbed. Then the Brahmana told him, if your mind cannot fix on the Supreme Lord Achyuta, then shamelessly chant his names day and night, solitary, fearless and conquering sleep, indifferent to desire, fixed on the goal, controlled in eating and peaceful in spirit. His names will bring you loving attraction for him. Nice, isn't it? This you can do. This you can do. So I thought that we should make an exercise in this, an exercise which will be very useful for your life. I want to initiate you now into the practice of oceanic breathing. It will immediately make you very alert. I noticed, Lalita, you are also a little tired. Is that correct? So, Lalita, we will now do oceanic breathing and everything will be all right. We will open the window. I have understood from you that you are not a friend of my exercises. Devotees came to me and said, Maharaj, we have muscle kater. I have not even started with the real exercises. I know an exercise where some of you, if you do it, you will faint. It's so difficult. So we will do now breathing. May I ask you at the beginning, this is very, very powerful because we will combine it with chanting, and it will be a deep mystical experience for some of you. For oceanic breathing, you need to restrict a little the tube here. Don't worry, it's very easy. Imagine you stand before a mirror. You can put the hand here. And you are trying to fog the mirror. Do you know what it means to fog? Like this. And as you breathe, so all breathe out. Breathe in. Ah, Continue as we go up and down. Now close your mouth and do it through the nose. Same sound. Continue as I give you instructions. We want to breathe very deeply. You will see your organism will awake in a little while. You can breathe deeper while exhaling more. Now we will go deeper, that means slower. And now whenever we exhale, we will chant the name Ram. Inhale. 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 Ram. Inhale. Ram. Yeah. And make the Ram longer now. Ram. Now we go a little higher when we say Ram. First inhale. Ram. Of the holy name, when chanted loudly, is able to pacify our restless mind and make it still and ready to receive. Maybe you could see that when I asked you to be silent, that which is so difficult for most of us, because our mind is always active, was more simple. Because the sound is just vibrating through our mind. So when you do kirtan, if you want to have the maximum effect of kirtan, sing wholeheartedly. Like in the end, when you all chanted the beautiful name of Syam Sundar, the Syam, and you really should have seen yourself how much sound power came out of you, because you understood. Let me do this now loud. This is the exercise, and so on. So in kirtan, you should always sing loudly and full-heartedly. Be there, and you will see how your whole being changes, and you become really spiritualized. You will really see how the material nonsense ideas will slowly go. This is Jiva Goswami's recommendation to chant loud and melodiously. There's a lot to be said about melodiously. It has to do with ragas, and maybe we come to this part where we introduce some ragas to you. Jiva Goswami continues in his kirtan manual. And you will find this in the summary which we will hand out at the end of the day. Superior to kirtan, where a person sings alone, is sankirtan, that is chanting together the holy names of the Lord. Why? because, and this will be our last point for today, because it creates extraordinary feelings. This is his words. Or sometimes it's said, it creates, sometimes it's translated, it creates an extraordinary delight. However, Jiva Goswami mentions that this process of sankirtan, chanting with many people together, creates only these extraordinary feelings under one condition. The condition is that those who come together are prideless. When you are prideless and perform prideless kirtan, then the chanting of the holy names together has extraordinary potencies and creates extraordinary feelings. Jiva Goswami quotes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the incarnation who delivers the souls of Kali Yuga by saying that the following instructions are given for the congregational singing of the Lord. I will read it in English to you. You know this verse very well. Considering oneself to be even lower than grass, being more tolerant than a tree, being prideless and offering respect to all others, one should continuously sing the name of Lord Hari. It's very, very interesting that this unfolds such extraordinary feelings. The sage Karabhajana says, in the age of Kali, people are naturally meek and humble because they don't have good qualifications. In other ages, other processes were given, but not the holy, chanting the holy name, because people were so qualified to do meditation and sacrifices and all the other processes. But in Kali Yuga, we are free of that pride and so on. So I have thought very deeply about this. I'm thinking that if we can just become humble, my dear devotees, then our disqualification becomes our greatest qualification, because the meek soul, the meek means humble person, attracts the mercy of Krishna. So there are many Vaishnavas who say like this, my dear Lord, give me the mercy. I'm most qualified to give your mercy because you are, to get your mercy, because you are the savior of the fallen souls, and I'm the most fallen soul. Look around. You won't find anyone who is more fallen than me. I am most qualified for your project to save fallen souls. Come to me first. So this is what attracts the Lord very much. If one is meek and humble. But if one is pride, oh, I know so much. Oh, long time for you, my dear boy, my dear sister. We are thinking in this age of Kali, we must show our qualification. We must impress others. We must be more intelligent, more beautiful, more... You are on the wrong track. If you want to impress Krishna, you will feel this will not help you, this Mr. and Mrs. Super qualified, because it's a joke. No one is qualified in the age of Kali. Pride is described in the Oxford Dictionary, Hare Krishna, as the quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's own importance. around pride, there are many things. There is arrogance, for instance. Or there is conceit. When your opinion of yourself is exaggerated, you are showing conceit, a word that combines pride with self-obsession. If you like to be noticed and admired for your appearance, you know, I look so beautiful, or your achievements, you are revealing your vanity. And if you show off or boast about your accomplishments, you are likely to be accused of vainglory, a somewhat literary term for a self-important display of power, skill, or influence. Egotism implies self-centeredness or an excessive preoccupation with yourself, blinded by egotism to the suffering of others. While no one wants to be accused of arrogance or egotism, there's a lot to be said for self-esteem, which may suggest undue pride, but is more often used to describe a healthy belief in oneself and respect for one's worth as a person. So, as we are, this is from the Oxford Dictionary, as we are trying to develop pridelessness, we have to be very careful, in my humble opinion, to not overdo it and enter into the murky waters, you smelly waste waters of low self-esteem, where our personality will totally cripple. No, you are worth. You are dear to Krishna. You are a good devotee. But avoid arrogance, conceit, egotism, pride, and so on. No? This is important. Here's now something for Sudevi. Hope she's there. And for our devotees from Dubai who asked me. Dainyam means humility is one of 34 sanchari bhavas. Sanchari bhavas are feelings which appear and disappear. What else is a sanchari bhava? Who was a nectar of devotion classes? You have just made your Bhakti Shastra, no? Ishvastri. It's not taught in there. Disgust, for instance. That's a sanchari bhava. After some time, it's all right again. Anger, fear. Yeah. These are emotions, you know, which appear on the ocean of your emotions like a wave and then disappear. So we want to know as Vaishnavas, how does Dainyam or humility appear in our mind? Isn't it Damodar Priya? There are four causes for this wave of Dainyam, which is the best quality in order to do kirtan, to appear. Again, some of you are looking at me with eyes that whatever I say is all right because you don't hear anything. Let us open the window with real God. Dainyam comes out of a feeling of dukkham or misery. When you become aware of the miserable existence, misery of material life, you become humble. Isn't it, Nimai? One notices this world is miserable and I'm in the midst of it. I'm a part of this. Dainyam comes when you are aware that you have committed aparad, offenses against Krishna. Dainyam arises, this is the third possibility, out of trasa. Trasa means a shock. I remember once a devotee had been in Vrindavan and had quarreled with a rickshaw driver who wanted so much money from him, so much more than they had agreed on. And the devotee was so unnerved that he hit the rickshaw driver and the rickshaw driver fell on the ground. And the devotee was shocked. He could understand, I've done something very bad. This is a bridge basi and I have hit him. Oh. He was shocked and he became very humble. He offered him 100 rupees, 200 rupees, 300 rupees out of humility. When you become shocked. My dear devotees, I once had an experience in my own life which is there in the book The Way of the Great Departure, which will soon be published by the BBT. And I was going to not Kailash. What is the Badrinath? No, the other one? Gangotri, no. Kedarnath, yes. I was going to Lord Shiva's Jyotirlingam in Kedarnath. And there, for a moment, as I was doing a little puja, all of a sudden, I came in this state where I closed my eyes and I could see a series of lifetimes passing by me, like a movie. For me, it was my previous lives. I don't know if it was, but for me, I saw it like this. And I remember I was so shocked to really see with my own eyes what it means to go through the cycle of birth and death again and again and again. And I really developed some good feeling of humility. I think this shock, when you see the reality of what it means to be a material existence, sometimes healthy. The last of the four causes of the wave of Dainyam, which appears on the ocean of emotions, is Laja. Laja means shame. You are ashamed. There is this prayer. O Purushottam, in this world there is no sinner and offender like me. Even though you are an ocean of causeless mercy, I am ashamed even to request you to forgive my offenses. I'm so ashamed. If I would tell you what I know already, I would just be so ashamed. What more shall I say? I'm so ashamed, I can't continue now. This feeling of shame. Now, when you feel humble, you should manifest the humility in these... If you really feel humble, it will result in certain physical and mental displays. You will make urgent appeals. Krishna, it's really urgent. My case is really very, 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 very urgent. Please, urgent appeals. When you are humble, the result is you are unable to think clearly any longer. You start to be depressed and think depressed thoughts. You become stunted and your mind gets swarmed with another sanchari bath, which is worries. You are full of worries. Someone who feels humble thinks himself to be very lowly, without any value, despite good qualities. This is Dainyam. This is the best place from where you can do Sankirtan. It's a deconstruction of the illusion. There, Krishna will hear you very quickly. Krishna almost reached the... I would now like to end this session by requesting you to turn to your neighbor. And there will be one of these exercises waiting for you. Please find your neighbor. You found Buddha. Oh, Madhu Gopal. Best. Have you, who has not found a neighbor? All have found a neighbor? Bjorn, your neighbor is there? Good. You have no neighbor. One person is crying in the desert, needs a partner. Shyamananda, you have found a neighbor? There is one Prabhu who needs you. We have heard from Jiva Goswami three tips for our kirtan practice. Sing the names of the Lord which are very dear to you, and we did Vibhavari Shesha. Next time we will do Yashomati Nandan. Then, in order to concentrate, loudly chant the name of Achyuta and absorb your consciousness in it. You have done very, very well when you chanted the name of Syam. I mean, the name of Achyuta or Syam or Krishna or, you know, that is... And the third was... Practice humility. We have analyzed how humility comes about. Let us quickly go through it. What are the four causes of humility? The awareness of misery. Mm-hmm. Shock. Shame. And you are aware. It's always is, you know... offenses don't make you humble. It's very important. It's not that offenses are the causes of humility, or isn't it? It's the awareness of it. Please, if you take notes and then you tell it to someone, Satchinanda Swami said, offenses make us humble. So here I will now start. And then you go, bah, 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 and so on. No, awareness of having committed offenses, Radha Damodar. Hare Krishna. We need to always think. That's very important. Good. We have also heard what the feeling of Dainya means, that even you have good qualities, you still feel and see the bad qualities. I see this very often with devotees with whom I serve, who are in my team. I think each one of them is so talented and so wonderful. And then I call them and want to ask, tell them, this went so well. And the devotee then says to me, no, this didn't go well, that didn't go well. I'm so unconcentrated in this. And I'm thinking, no, you are not. So this is humility, where someone, although doing well and having good quality, prefers to not dwell in pride. He or she prefers not to be observed with the thoughts of obsessed with the feelings of self-importance, but prefers to go and see the things which didn't work so well and which need improvement. And that is a feeling which Krishna loves very much. Krishna doesn't like when you say, this went very well, I did it so good. He likes when you wish to improve. But at the same time, I want to really caution you, especially with an ISKCON public, and you are an ISKCON public mostly, don't fall into the other extreme of low self-esteem, which will stifle your progress. We quoted a verse from Narottam Das Thakur, where he said, or sang, "My dear Lord, you are the savior of the fallen, and I can really, honestly, objectively, truthfully tell you, I'm the best object for your project. I'm most fallen." You know, this is how devotees feel. But it's not a feeling of low self-esteem. It's a feeling of hope. I am the most qualified now for your mercy. You know. Good. My dear devotees, discuss with your partner now what helps you to improve your kirtan performance. Imagine you are in a kirtan. Imagine you are not so engaged in the kirtan. And then think about what helps you to become very engaged in the kirtan, very involved in the kirtan, very absorbed in the kirtan. I feel if we do this, we can learn a lot from each other. Start now, please. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees, Nimai, I need you right after the program. Nimai and Lalita and Syamasaki and Banu Nandini, please come right after the program, just briefly to me. So, I want to say, oops, still making the sound. Thank you very much for participating in this particular workshop. I hope it brought you something. What did you feel when we chanted this Ram? What I always think it's so powerful, isn't it? Can you really experience that sound does something to you, isn't it? It is something which we can carry into our kirtan practice. I now want to bring you the good news. We will see, today is practically over. We only need to go in the good boat of the holy name at 4:30. At 4:30, I request you to be here. There will be devotees on both of the entrances who will sprinkle you with Ganga water, so that it will really work for you. We will not leave one, we will leave no chance open. You will be absolutely purified. We will throw you in the Ganga before, or Yamuna. And I request you to do something which is very important. I know for some of us, especially those who are strong men, it might sound, but still I request you, bring a flower. Krishna says in the Gita, one who offers me a flower, fruit, water, or leaf, bring something with love, I accept it. Bring something for Krishna. You can also bring a leaf, but please only bring tulsi leaves if you are authorized by the tulsi caretaker to find a leaf. You could, water is a little impractical, I guess, to bring. Where will you put it? Or fruit. Bring something for Krishna. Don't come empty-handed. This simple gesture or ritual, if you so want, will help you to do the Nam Yagya in the meaning of the R, which is there, the rendering of service. It will help you. You will see when you do this simple ritual to bring something for Krishna, which you you get. There are many flowers outside. We have checked. I have counted the flowers. There are much more than retreat participants. Please do something. Take the time now to take care of yourself so that you are in good shape. We will also not have any kirtan now in the temple because in the hall. We want you really now to be able to switch off totally and prepare yourself for 4:30. That you are there and well rested, nicely showered if you need to take a shower, to be more energetic and in good consciousness with a flower in your hand or a fruit or a leaf. So thank you very, very much, and I see you at 4:30. And now just the four devotees whom I mentioned, please come. Yes, Mataji? Announcement, come here, Mataji, so that everyone sees you.